listening to the Apollo Podcast Network. One.
Get ready to launch yourself into the latest rocket news. You are listening to the Launchpad Podcast, presented by Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. I am your host, LaShard Binkley. I'm a staff writer for the Dream Shake. And of course, you can find me on Twitter at HTimeForLife40, all caps. Be sure to follow the official Apollo Media account at Apollo HOU, as well as hitting the subscribe button on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. We would greatly appreciate it. And on today's show, of course, we're talking Rockets as usual. We're going to be breaking down the first two Rockets preseason games that happened this past week. We're going to also be talking about individual players and their performances. Of course, Jalen Green, we're talking about KPJ, and talk about Christian Wood's inconsistent play so far, and talk about whether that's going to continue, hopefully not, or is he going to improve going into the season. And in the second segment, like I said, we're going to be talking about the individual performances. And in the last segment, we're going to be breaking down the upcoming roster and who they should keep and who should be starting, who should be closing games. So we're going to talk about that in the last segment. But before we get into all that, I want to introduce our special guest today. He is a Texas beat reporter for Locked On Texans and at the Texans Wire, a Rockets insider. And of course, he's my compadre over at the Dream Shake. I want to welcome in Cody Davis, who is actually our first time talking on an actual podcast. We've been, you know, talking back and forth on Twitter, you know, which is always, you know, nice, but it's good to actually be talking and hearing a voice on the other end. So, Cody, definitely happy to have you on the Launchpad Podcast today.
Yes, sir. What's going on, man? First of all, I think this might be the first time you and I have been able to work together on a project. Yes. And you and I have been talking for what, over a year now?
It's been a while, yeah. It's been a while back and forth, man. It's always something when you first actually hear somebody's voice and actually talk to them, like, oh, it's actually real human beings, you know, behind the screen. So it's good to have you on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm glad to be on, man. I had an opportunity to listen to you guys quite often throughout last season and throughout the offseason as well, man. So I'm happy to be on another guest of one of my favorite Rocket podcasts around, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Hopefully we didn't put you to sleep because, man, it was a struggle last year talking and trying to come up with topics for that season.
if anything, I appreciate the work you guys did, because look, as you know, I cover the Rockets as well. Yes. And I'm going through it with the Houston Texans. Oh, yeah. When the team isn't that good, you start to run out of ideas, but at the same time, it's actually good because it actually challenges you to not only keep your readers and listeners involved, but it actually, you could basically put a new spin, whether it be positive or negative, it just challenges you. So that's the best part about it. You know, you never run out of ideas.
That's true. I became an analytical master last year, breaking down like, in, you know, stats that nobody would think of, because I ran out of ways to say that the Rockets lost. I couldn't come up with any more ways to talk about that. But first topic actually I wanted to talk to you about, and you actually cover the practices and you cover the Rockets. So I wanted to get your take on the first two preseason games. I mean, again, it's preseason. You don't want to go too in-depth on it because, you know, teams aren't playing their full roster. Coach Siles even said he's not breaking out the full offensive playbook yet. But it's still some things you can take from, especially since they're a really young team. So what's been kind of your impressions of the Rockets' first two games where they went 1-1?
Well, I'm going to start with the positive. First off, you know, I like the fact that they opened up their two preseason games, one against the Washington Wizards and one against the Miami Heat. And going into the season, I said that I'm hoping that this is going to be one of those young teams where when you go up against a team like Washington, you stay competitive, and there's going to be nights where you can actually upset those teams. And then you're going to go up against some veteran championship or, you know, really established playoff caliber teams where you might get your butt whooped a lot. And that's exactly what happened. Yeah. And, you know, what I like most about this is something, and I'm actually hoping they actually stick to what I'm about to say, unlike the other team that I cover here in Houston. And it seems like they're starting to drip away from that. But it seems like, you know, it doesn't matter if they're playing against a team like Washington or a team like the Heat, they're going to be competitive. Yeah. And the best part about the competitive with the Rockets, and please excuse me if I say the Texans sometimes, because said that a couple of times. Even in writing, I gotta go back and be like, oh, this not the Texans, it's the Rockets. But you know, to go back to the Houston Rockets though, you know, they have young, talented players, as we all know. But what I like most about this is I think Steven Salas's and Raphael Stone top priority is going to be develop their players, but at the same time, be competitive. You know, last year, especially during that 20-game losing streak, 15 out of the 20 games, they lost by double digits, sometimes over 20. I don't want that to be the case, and you definitely know those two guys don't want that to be the case this year. You know, this team, I don't think they're going to be a playoff-caliber team. I think me personally, I kind of have them being a contender for a play-in tournament, and that might be the ceiling for this team. Yes. But if they could just go out every single game, and it seems like that's going to be the case because they have the personality just to go out there and compete and keep these games interesting. And not only will competing help the Rockets be better than what a lot of people are expecting, but it's actually going to be really valuable for the development of guys like Jalen Green and Alperin and, you know, KPJ. And, you know, there's a lot of great talent on this team. And if they could just stay competitive, man, this team is going to be better than what a lot of people give it credit for.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what, you know, and, you know, there's a reason why they call them fans, because that's short for fanatics. But a lot of times, you know, they don't always look past the fact that, you know, you're playing a bunch of 19 and 20 year olds. This is how it's going to be. You're going to have a lot of ups. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a lot of downs. It's not going to be a lot of in the middle like we're used to with the Rockets in the past, who had a bunch of older veteran players. I mean, you're going to have games like the, like you said, with the Wizards, where they look great and they were, you know, scoring the basket easily, playing good switch defense. And then you're going to have games against the Heat where teams that, you know, are competing for championships and they've been there before. I mean, you got Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler. I mean, PJ Tucker's been in the league for 25 years now. I mean, these players have been in the league for a long time. So, you know, people shouldn't really be shocked that, yes, the Heat are going to kind of dissect them and make it difficult for them, you know, to score. But you mentioned some of the, you know, the good things that you saw. What's some of the things that you think they need to work on after these first two games?
One of the biggest things I think this team needs to work on is just sharing the ball a little bit more, you know. And I go back to that game against the Miami Heat, and, you know, one of my takeaways was Jalen Green. Jalen Green did play a lot better than he did against the Washington Wizards. I believe he scored, what was it, like 20 or 25 points somewhere along those lines. Yeah. But I kind of felt like, you might get mad at me saying this, but I kind of felt like he was part of the reason why the offense looked stagnant, because it would seem like he was going out there on the court and was just kind of like focusing on getting his own points other than trying to work within the offense. And even after the game, Steven Silas even talked about, you know, he doesn't want this to be an offense where we see a lot of one-on-one play. And look, don't get me wrong, I think Jalen Green is going to be a very special talent in this league. Yeah. And the same can be said for my guy Kevin Porter Jr. My God, he looks so good these first two games, especially against the Wizards. But, you know, I'm hoping that those two guys actually play within the offense and actually take the time to share the ball and get other players, especially the big men like a Daniel Tyson, especially Christian Wood. I think that's part of the reason why we have seen Christian Wood play a little bit slower, is because the two guys where it's their job to get him the ball, I'm not calling them a ball hog, but at the same time, they need to share the ball just a little bit more. I think that's the biggest thing that I want to see this team work on. And of course, you know, you always got to talk about defense. Look, the defense, more so their defense when protecting the basket, I think that's been my biggest disappointment, because when I look at the presence that the Rockets had, see, I almost did it. When I look at the presence that the Rockets have down on the low post on the defensive side of the ball, I'm looking at Daniel Tyson, I'm looking at Christian Wood, and I'm like, look, the Wizards and especially the Heat kind of killed this team from the inside. That is going to be an issue when you go up against a team like the Denver Nuggets, when you go up against a team like the Los Angeles Lakers. Hell, when you go up against a team like the New Orleans Pelicans with Zion Williamson, they need to find a way to protect the basket the basket just a little bit more. Those have been my two biggest issues with the Rockets so far, these two preseason games. But in the words of Steven Silas, it's preseason. This is a team that is still going through training camp. They're still getting used to one another, and they actually have time to fix those issues before the real game get kicked off on October 20th, if I'm not mistaken, against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up about this is really still their training camp. I mean, KPJ is finally probably getting to 82 games played. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's actually gotten to that yet in his three years.
This is going to be his first time.
Yeah, so, I mean, even if you add up the two previous years, he still hadn't even got to a full season. And then you got Jalen Green, who's a rookie. And then, I mean, even with Christian Wood hasn't played a full season. So you got a bunch of players. I mean, it's crazy, but – you know, Jayshon Tate probably played the most games out of the younger guys, the 25 and under guys. So you got to factor that in when you're seeing that they're kind of struggling. And I agree with you as far as Jalen Green shot the ball a lot better, but it also seemed like, yeah, he was trying to get his feet under him. He was trying to get his own shot. And, you know, when you're doing that, you're not necessarily focusing on getting the ball to other players. So I know that's something that they're definitely going to work on in practice. Other thing I want to get into before wrap up this first segment, not to get too deep into the weeds here, but how do you feel about the Rockets switching every action and having players like Daniel Tice out on the perimeter? And then that's kind of when you run into the problem on the inside when you have Tice out there on the perimeter and then you have Jalen Green trying to guard centers. How do you feel about that? Do you think that's something they may adjust going into the season?
I don't think so, because that's been the Rockets' mojo for what? All the way to the Mike D'Antoni era, and that's one of the things that I kind of did not like about the Rockets' defense, especially when they got rid of Clint Capella and started that stupid small ball lineup with P.J. Tucker. But let's not talk about that.
Oh, yes. You all remember that.
I personally do not like switching on the defensive side of the ball, but I get it, you know, with – nearly every single team in the NBA playing a five-out offense, you know, you have to have a big man who is actually can switch. And to be honest with you, that's part of the reason why I do like the addition of Daniel Tice, because he is a guy who can cover, who can, you know, hold his own against perimeter players. But as you say, when you switch, that leaves, leaves a very unmatched down there on the low block when you have a guy like Jalen Green going one-on-one, you know, with the opposite team's power forward or somewhat along those lines. And, you know, me personally, I definitely do not want to see this team switching because of that reason, because, you know, you take a look at a young guy like Jalen Green, he isn't strong enough to play against guys who are bigger than him down on the low block. You can say the same thing for Kevin Porter Jr. as well. And then when that happened, and let's say if that switch happens, now you put Christian Wood in a situation where he's trying to take care of the basket and make sure he doesn't leave his guy out in the perimeter. And I believe that's something that we saw a lot against in that game against the Miami Heat. But, you know, if that is the offense, well, if that's the defense that Steven Silas wants to run, then, you know, it's going to be one of those, it's going to just be a season where a lot of us just going to have to, like, kind of bite our tongue and just hope that this is a learning curve. And hopefully going into the following offseason, those two guys, especially Jalen Green, can actually work on building their strength. So going into his second season, that wouldn't be a problem. But once again, I understand it's two games into a preseason, but one thing I do say about the preseason, a lot of time preseason show you what is going to be your biggest strength and what is going to be your biggest weakness. And right now, through their two preseason games, I think the switching on defense might be this team's biggest issue.
Yeah, because, I mean, you brought up that they've been doing it for a while. And I remember that being like one of the things like Jeff Van Gundy used to always bring up a lot. And I think Steve Kerr, everybody's favorite here in Houston, used to say about the Rockets back in the day that they had a bunch of linebackers, basically. So they were able to switch because you had Eric Gordon switching on to bigger guys. He can guard bigger guys. You had James Harden, who actually that's his, you know, better position on defense is actually guarding centers and power forwards and being on the perimeter. So I think that's something they're going to have to tinker with all year because, yeah, like you say, you have Jalen Green and KPJ. They're both still in, you know, 19 and then 21 years old, they're still trying to develop into having, you know, NBA ready bodies. So it's going to take them a little bit of time before they're going to be able to guard players like, I mean, you never really can guard players like Bam Adebayo or, Jokic or players like that, but at least be able to hold your own enough to where it's not Ole defense and they're just getting easy baskets on the other end. So, yeah, like I say, I think they're going to be working on that throughout the year. It's just something that they're going to have to figure out whether that's the best defense or not. One more question before we wrap this up. Since you cover a lot of practices, you get to talk to the players. Do you see a difference between like this year and like last year as far as just the atmosphere? Because, I mean, I know last year was like a circus, even, you know, just, you know, with COVID and then with James Harden wanting out in Westbrook. I mean, it was just a whole big thing. So do you see like it maybe is more calm, it's more of a focus going on this year compared to last year?
Hell yeah. I'm not even going to lie to you, man. You know, there was a lot going on with this team last year. You know, you know, comparing to where this team was during preseason and the training camp last year, look, we all remember what was the biggest storyline. You know, where was James Harden? It was basically like a game of Waldo. You know, he was in L.A. one weekend, and he was with Lil Baby in Atlanta the next weekend. Yeah, you know, with the honey buns and the watch and all that other stuff. And it weighed on this team, you know, it weighed on Steven Silas, especially with that being his first year, you know, his first training camp. And as you mentioned, it wasn't the prototypical NBA training camp because of COVID. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on. You know, you're trying to work John Wall in, you know, you're trying to work DeMarcus Cousins in, you know, you also have a disgruntled PJ Tucker, you know, that's coming to practice, even though he's not as disgruntled as James Harden, you know, he's coming to practice. And it was like, It almost felt like, and we all been in this situation, a relationship where you know there's no fixing it, but you're just trying to hold on to that person because you don't want to let them go. But at the end of the day, it involves a really terrible breakup, to where if you would have broke up with that person prior to that issue, you know, the big issue or whatever, then, you know, the ending to the relationship should have, could have been a lot better. The only time where it seemed like this team was going to be okay last year, and the only time where it seemed like the camaraderie and the chemistry with the team was semi good last year, was when it was, I believe, a 10 or 12 stretch where the Rockets were like 6-4 somewhere along those lines.
Yeah, they just and had that 6-game winning streak.
Yeah, they was on a 6-game winning streak, and it seemed like they were starting to build that camaraderie, and it seemed like the culture around the team was starting to be established as, okay, look, we lost James Harden, but we got Victor. You know, we got Christian Wood playing on an all-star level. We got John Wall starting to look like the guy that he was with the Washington Wizards. You know, they started to take on like that underdog mentality, and then the game against the game against the Grizzlies, boom, Christian Wood go down with his ankle injury. Then everybody started dropping like flies. The next thing you know, we're looking at Steven Silas fighting back tears because this is a team that lost 20 games in a row. Last year, it was just the culture, the camaraderie. You know, it started with the losing streak. It just seemed like this was a team that was like, okay, let's just get to the finish line. Let's just get our top four draft pick and just throw this season away. This year, there's hope. You know, it's not hope as in, look, like it was when I first started covering the Rockets, look, championship or bust, but there's hope to where, look, we got a lot of younger guys. All of the players are behind Steven Silas, which was something that he did not have last year. And they are finally starting to develop a culture and the chemistry and the camaraderie. And I know a lot of fans might say to themselves, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what the culture or the camaraderie is, you know, as long as you got talented players, you can win. While that's true, the culture and the camaraderie is very important inside the locker room. And I'm seeing that, you know, covering both the Rockets and the Texans, to where if you have an established culture and you know, the players like each other and stuff, and they want to work with each other, they're going to go out there on the court and, or on the field or a baseball diamond or whatever sport it is and play harder for one another versus, you know, you develop a mindset of, okay, we suck, let's just get through the season. You know, it's just... Look, everything about this team this year, you know, with no drama, it seems like Steven Silas, he even spoke about this a couple of times, especially on media day. This seems like this is actually his first go around as a head coach, to where the Rockets will basically have a clean slate, and everything that we're going to see moving forward is going to be based around, of course, the future of this organization and Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green, and of course, in a young coach that's still trying to find his footing, but he's going to set the tone, he's going to set a culture within Steven Silas.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm glad you pointed out it's almost like it's really his first year. And I'm sure, you know, he wants to just totally forget last year, just like most Rockets fans. So, I mean, it'd be interesting to see how it goes forward. And, you know, you can already kind of tell on the court that they're the way they're, you know, high-fiving each other and cheering each other on, that's going to be a totally different vibe this year. Even if they, you know, only win 30 games this year, it's still not going to be the same, you know, horrible year like last year.
You got them winning 32?
I actually have them winning, I would say, 30 to 35 is the high mark for them. I would say somewhere in that range. I know some people have them winning 20 games or 25, or, you know, still being the worst team in the league. I mean, I just want to let all the people know that are wishing for a top three pick. I just don't think they're going to be that bad this year. I'm just sorry to break it to everybody.
I agree. I actually have this team winning 30 games as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where the range I have them, just because, I mean, I know they have a lot of young players, but you still do have players like Christian Wood. And we all know we don't know how long Eric Gordon's going to be around. I think he's probably be traded before the trade deadline. By the time he's still here, he can still help a lot of young guys. And DJ Augustin off the bench. And, I mean, you still got Coach Wall there. You know, he probably going to be here all year. So, I mean, he still got him on the bench, you know, helping out as well. So, yeah, I see them, you know, minimum, you know, 28-30 win range, top 35, just depending. Like you said, you know, they only got to beat out four other teams, and those four teams are pretty bad, like the Sacramentos of the world, to be considered, you know, contenders for that play-in spot. So, like I say, I wouldn't be shocked if it happened. So, we'll have to wait and see how that all plays out. So, that's going to wrap it up for the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to talk about some individual players like Jalen Green and Christian Wood and KPJ, and kind of talk about how they looked the first couple of games and some of the things that they need to work on coming up in these last two games before we hit the regular season. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And welcome back to Launchpad Podcast, presented by Apollo Media. And in the second segment, myself and Cody, we're going to be discussing some individual players and their performances so far, these first couple of preseason games. So first, Cody, I want to actually start off with get your opinion. And we talked a little bit about Jalen Green earlier in the first segment, but what's some of the other things you think he needs to, you know, work on, and what's some of the things that you've liked so far? I know you mentioned that in the second game he shot better, but he needs to look more for his teammates. But what's some of the other things that you liked, and some of the things you think he should need to work on these last couple of games that we have in the preseason?
In terms of my first evaluation of Jalen Green, this is a like and a dislike at the same time. Yeah. I love the fact that this man is aggressive going to the basket.
Yeah.
My God. I mean, he isn't afraid of nobody. But at the same time, he keep getting bumped around because he's so little. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's coming into his rookie season weighing in at like 170 or whatever. And, you know, that very first game against the Washington Wizards, he was actually talking about, you know, during the post game, he was actually talking about how, look, I'm 19 years old going up against grown men.
Yeah.
And every time he tried to attack the basket when Bradley Beal was on him, it was basically you saw a rookie, of course, going up against a veteran. And we're talking about one of the best veterans in the league. But Bradley Beal isn't known for his defense.
Oh, no.
And
no.
Bradley was able to basically move and push Jalen Green in a direction where Green did not want to go. And it made it kind of hard for Green to get to the basket. But that was when he was going one-on-one. However, on the flip side of that, if he is able to get that first step on a player, man, he is explosive going to the hole. Man, I think right now, especially going back to what I saw in Summer League, and I don't want to touch on Summer League too much because you're just playing against rookies and other players who are like praying to make the team. But yes. What I love most is the fact that he is aggressive going to the hole, and I love his confidence. I see some people, you know, they talk about, oh, this young fella's too cocky. He's too much into himself. Look, you need that in order to become a great player in this league. And that is what I love most about Green. I don't want to, you know, talk down too much on Green because this is, what, two games into his NBA career.
Yeah.
And you know, this man has a long way to go for him, but what I'm seeing, the potential that this young man has, the Rockets got something special.
Yeah, and like you said, he's 19 years old. I think people, you know, saw the G League and then they saw Summer League and they they were expecting him just to come in and score 30 points a game. I mean, that's just not how the NBA works. And like you said, you know, as the season go on, we're going to see more and more of Jalen Green being able to get to the basket. And like you said, Bradley Beal was able to direct him one way or another on the court the way he wanted him to go. And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, he's still working on his handles. And once he gets his handle tighter and able to get to the rim, I mean, I don't know how you're going to be able to stop him. Because, you know, I think from even from this year on, he's going to be shooting 36-37% from three. And as the seasons go on, I think it's going to probably closer to 40% because he's already a really good shooter. So I just think that's just going to take time, like you said. And I mean, heck, I mean, the Rockets are still rebuilding. This is the perfect time for him to work on his game and to the point where, hey, he's going to be that next superstar. The next play I wanted to ask you about, and something that's been floating around Rockets Twitter, and people are already starting to drum up again the Trey Christian Wood talk for some strange reason. But what have you seen from Christian Wood? I know you touched on it, you know, briefly in the first segment, in that, you know, a lot of time – it's not always necessary Christian Wood, but it's just that they're not getting him the ball in the right spot. So what have you seen from Christian Wood so far, besides the fact that I know he wants to improve his free throw shooting for sure?
You hit the nail right on the coffin. You know, he's not getting the ball in the right spot. It seems like they're getting him the ball way too early in the offense, or kind of too late. And, you know, going back to last season, I think we have yet to see what Christian Wood is, what type of player Christian Wood is. Actually is, because going back to last season, look, and I'm only going to talk about the first two games, he was playing with James Harden. You're looking at one of the best playmakers basically of all time. Then, you know, James depart, he's starting to develop chemistry with John Wall, and John Wall has been one of the best floor generals over the last 10 years. So he was always playing with two guys who are known, some of their best top qualities are their playmaking abilities. Plus, you know, especially James Harden, Hall of Fame caliber player, they could throw you and I out there with John and James, and they're going to make us look good. But on the flip side of that, and this is where I think Rockets fans and even people in the media who are starting to criticize Christian Wood, he is still trying to get adjusted to playing with Kevin Porter Jr. Yes. I think going back to last year, he only played with KPJ for what? Maybe five games.
A handful of games.
You know, if that, because both of those guys, especially Wood, was dealing with injuries. Now, not only is he trying to get adjusted playing with Kevin Porter Jr., but he's also trying to get adjusted playing with Jalen Green. And, of course, everybody knows they're going to be the main two primary ball handlers on this team. So it's a matter of him just trying to get used to playing with two guys, just trying to develop that chemistry and camaraderie to where, and I'm pretty sure they're working on this in practice and stuff, but, you know, it's just a matter of them knowing when and how to get Christian Wood the ball. And at the same time, Christian Wood's still trying to get adjusted to, let's face it, another style of offense he has to get used to with the Rockets. Because, I mean, he started off his career with the Rockets. The offense was still revolved around James Harden. That lasted for, what, 10 games. He's gone. He found his niche playing alongside John Wall and Victor Oladipo and those guys. Then those two guys get hurt. Then we had a 2-3 week stretch where he was basically giving us 30 and 15 playing alongside Kelly Olynyk. Now Olynyk is gone. Now he's coming into the preseason, and I really think Christian Wood is going to be fine. What I'm waiting to see is how much stronger did he actually get. Yeah. Because based off his play last year, going up against guys like Nikola Jokic and all these other great centers like Anthony Davis, it seems like he just needed to work on getting bigger and work on, you know, just getting stronger in general in order to go up against, to win his one-on-one matches against those all-star caliber big men that we think Christian Wood is going to be able to reach. And he does look a little bit bigger from how he looked last year, but at the same time, I think his biggest issue is just trying to find his niche in the offense for what the fourth time has been changed due to roster construction.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because you can go back even further than that. I mean, Christian Wood, he really hasn't played a full season with any team. Mm-mm. I mean, you can go all the way back to when he first started. I mean, he's been on the 76ers summer league team. He was on the Pelicans, the Bucks. I mean, he's been all over the place, even with the Pistons. He only really played that second half before he left the Pistons because Andre Drummond got traded. So, I mean, he's been he's been all over the place. It's kind of like a quarterback who's had 10 different offensive coordinators. I mean, it's only so much you're going to be able to do if you're not getting the time to play with, you know, a certain set, a certain offense. So I think people just need to be more patient because it's just going to take time for them to get used to playing with all these. I mean, you're playing with players that don't even know their own games yet, like Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. They're trying to learn their own games, let alone trying to, you know, get the ball to Christian Wood. So it's just going to take time. I think some people just want to trade Christian Wood anyway. So now they have an excuse to trade him.
Yes, I don't understand that logic at all.
It's crazy. And I've been talking about it forever. You got a guy that's making $15 million a year, who's 25, 26 years old, and who's an all-star before he got hurt last year. Why in the world would you want to trade him just because you don't want to possibly pay him max money in a couple of years down the road? And, you know, you need to worry about the now and not worry about 2 years from now and worry about whether he's going to be asking for the max money. I mean, you're a rebuilding team. You need good players on your team, and Christian Wood, to me, is a good player still. And actually, I think he's in a better role now playing power forward instead of center because he's not a center.
Yes, yes. That's what I've been – that's the main thing that I wanted to see is him go down and play power forward.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to be a very upgrade for Christian Wood's career for this coming season. Because, you know, last year, even when he was at center – he did okay. I mean, look, he did good at center, but it still went down to him just being a part of a team, being a part of an organization to where there was still a lot of mixing and matching going on.
Yeah.
And I realized he was best at power forward when you paired him alongside Kelly Olynyk. And when Olynyk took over that center position, and we saw, I think that lasted for 2 weeks because nothing lasted forever.
No, nothing at all.
When I saw him, I think that was the time where he was giving us close to like 30 and 15 a night playing alongside Kelly. I was like, okay, he needs to really stay the power forward. And it's almost similar to the Anthony Davis comparison to where, look, AD could play the five, but he wants to play the four because that is where he's at his best. And if you have a top-notch player who is at his best at one position, I just feel as a coach, as a general manager, you should do everything possible to put your best player in their best role in order for them to thrive.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, it's just going to take time. And Christian Wood really doesn't need to be down there banging with centers that are 50 pounds heavier than him. I mean, eventually that's going to wear him down later on in the game. He's more of a perimeter type player that needs to be going downhill, not already being in the paint. One other player before we wrap up the second segment I want to get your opinion on and how he's been playing so far is Kevin Porter Jr. You mentioned earlier in the first segment he had the great first game. Second game, you know, he was playing against Kyle Lowry, one of the best, you know, even at his age, defender at the point guard position and one of the best floppers in the league. So what's been kind of your opinion of Kevin Porter Jr. so far in the first couple of games?
I've been liking what I'm seeing from Kevin Porter Jr. As a matter of fact, he's been the one guy I've been most impressed with. I mean, maybe it's because, you know, nobody expected him to drop, what was it, 25-7, you know, the very first preseason game against Washington. But, man, even though he didn't have the best game Thursday night against the Heat, you could still see areas where he developed his play. And I don't want to make the comparison because it's still too early, but some of those moves – is this another version of James Harden that the Houston Rockets have their eyes on? Well, you know, that they actually have an opportunity. The guy has just developed. Because I've been watching him ever since Cleveland. And I've always said, you know, if this guy get an opportunity to go out there and actually play his game, he's going to be very good in his league. And, of course, you know, has some issues going on in Cleveland. You bring him into Houston. And I actually had an opportunity to cover him in the G League. And I'm covering him in the G League, and I'm saying to myself, okay, I see the raw potential that he has. He just needs to work on it. Like, to me, I know a lot of people get caught up on Kevin Porter Jr.'s his ability to score. But my biggest thing with Kevin Porter Jr., I think he could really make this mark on this league, is if he can actually get his IQ up and actually become a better facilitator. That was my thoughts when he was in the G League. The 25 games that he played last year with the Rockets versus the 2 games that he's played so far this year in the preseason, he has worked on his playmaking ability. And this guy is going to be very good for this upcoming season. I think KPJ this year might be scratching the surface of an all-star caliber player. That is from what I've been seeing. And look, I understand he did not have the best game on Thursday, but like you mentioned, that is still one of the, he was going up against one of the best defensive point guards in Kyle Lowry, even at the age of 35, 36.
Yeah.
But you can still tell, even with the shots he was missing, even with some of the turnovers that he was making, and I think he had, if I'm not mistaken, like 5 or 6 turnovers against Miami, but some of those was just getting the timing down with some of his teammates. And all of that is just stuff that's going to just improve as we continue to go on throughout the preseason and training camp. I have been very impressed by KPJ.
Yeah, and like you say, even last game where he didn't have as good of a game as he did against the Wizards. I mean, he still had a couple of great step back moves, and and you're playing against one of the best, not just point guard, defensive point guards. You're playing against one of the best defensive teams in the league. I mean, they brought in PJ Tucker, who just adds to that defense. Bam Adebayo is probably the best perimeter to center, a perimeter to paint defenders at the center position in the league, up there with players like Anthony Davis. When Anthony Davis does play center, I mean, he can cover the entire floor. So any, not even talking about Tom Ball's own Jimmy Butler, not Houston, but Tom Ball's own Jimmy Butler. He's another one, that whole team is probably one of the best defense teams in the league. So, Kevin Porter Jr. didn't play point guard at all for the Cavaliers. They actually had him at small forward when he came in the league.
Played
a little bit in the G League, and then he played a little bit last year, but you still had Wall in and out of the lineup last year. So this is really his first time being a full-time point guard. So he's going to have some hiccups and some headaches and some growing pains. But, like you said, he even said himself, his goal is to, get 10 assists a game. Now, whether that's going to happen, it's a different story, but at least that's his goal and that's something he's working towards. And, with time, I can definitely see him being, one of the better playmakers in the league, along with being able to get to the basket and score against anybody. So that's definitely going to be something great to watch throughout this year when it comes to Kevin Porter Jr. That's going to wrap it up for the second segment. In the last segment, we're going to be talking about who do we think should be starting and closing games for the Rockets upcoming year, because so far – Coach Hodges has kind of experimented with who he's putting in as far as the small forward position. He has House starting one game, and he had Eric Gordon starting the first game. So I want to get Cody's opinion on that. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU. All Houston, all original.
Hello, and welcome back to the Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media. As usual, if you enjoy the show, leave us a review or drop us some stars. We prefer 5 stars, but, we're just happy that you're listening. We are joined by Cody Davis of the Dream Shake. And in this final segment, we're going to be talking about who do we think should start and who do we think should close when it comes to the Rockets and their lineups. And like I mentioned earlier, we've already had 2 different starting small forwards for the Rockets in these first 2 preseason games. So, Cody, I actually want to start off with that. Who do you think should be starting on opening night? Do you think it should be House? Do you think it should be Gordon if he's back and ready to play by then? Or do you think it should be Jae'Sean Tate?
Jae'Sean Tate, without a doubt.
Yeah.
First and foremost, as a matter of fact, as we sitting here recording this on a Saturday, we actually had an opportunity to talk to Steven Silas earlier. And if Jae'Sean is ready to go against the Toronto Raptors on Monday, Steven Silas did say that he most likely will start Jae'Sean because he is still trying to play with the rotation. But at the same time, it makes sense because you take a look at, the players that the Rockets are working with this year. Jae'Sean is actually a part of this team future. Plus, yeah. Just like we talked about Christian Wood being at his best playing at power forward, I actually felt that Jae'Sean Tate was at his best playing that small forward position because he has that all-around versatility that it's sort of similar to Draymond Green in a way to where, he could play almost all 5 positions, but I think he's at his best when he's at the 3. When you look at the other 2 candidates, I don't see why would you start them. First and foremost, Eric Gordon, at any moment we could get notification from Kelly Eichel from the Athletic by saying that Eric Gordon has been traded to .. And Daniel House, look.
Yeah, it was rough last game.
I always felt Daniel was at his best coming off the bench. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
Even going back to the days when he was at his best, when we had guys like Chris Paul and James Harden, and he was going, you know, sharing the starting role with, you know, Eric Gordon 1 week, of course. I think, was he a part of that team with Trevor Ariza?
So I think he was.
I can't remember.
I remember that first year. That was when it was a big thing about Daniel House not getting signed in time, and he had to go down to the G League. So
if I'm
mistaken, I think he was here that last year. Trevor Ariza was here, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so the 2018 season, that was the year when they lost to Golden State in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, because he's been here 3 years now.
Okay, so the following year, which was the 2019 season, after they lost Trevor Ariza, going back to my point, I always felt that, because a lot of times they had Daniel House starting and Eric Gordon coming off the bench, I always felt both of those guys was better when you flipped them. That was just my opinion. Don't know why Mike D'Antoni did it the opposite way. But, you know, hey, he makes the big bus to do basketball. I don't. I just write, report, analyze.
Yeah.
But I say all that just to say, I think that is still the same issue with Daniel House. He always seems like a guy who seemed like he's at his best coming off the bench, being an extra spark, and he always provided the team with an extra lift versus you throwing him out there opening tip, and we get a game like we got on Thursday night where he's 0-10 or whatever the case might be.
Trevor,
so, you know,
numbers,
I see a lot of people debating back and forth, you know, why it should be House, why it should be Gordon, why it should be Tate, but look, if you ask me, Jayshon Tate, without a doubt, will be. I'm going to say will be because I think Steven Silas is just experimenting. But Jayshon Tate should be the starter come day one of the regular season. And you have Eric Gordon and Jayshon Tate, you know, Eric Gordon and Daniel House coming off the bench. Because like I say, look, if this was a regular year and let's say Eric Gordon was okay being a part of the rebuild, then I would actually say starting Eric Gordon. But at the end of the day, if you start Eric Gordon, that's just going to hinder the development process for not only Jayshon Tate, but for the whole team as a whole. Because I guarantee you, if push comes up, we're going to see Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green play a lot more minutes alongside Jayshon Tate versus the minutes that they're going to play with Daniel House and Eric Gordon.
Yeah, and exactly. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I've actually heard in some interviews Daniel House saying, yeah, he almost preferred coming off the bench because he'll get more touches. Because in the starting lineup, he's going to be competing with the backcourt, Kevin Porter,
exactly.
Jalen Green, Christian Wood.
And to be honest with you, and I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
I always felt that was his biggest issue because, you know, going back to the previous 2 years, you know, he's sharing the court with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. He's sharing the court with Chris Paul and James Harden. You know, when you share the floor with those guys, you know, you're not going to touch the ball as much. And let's be honest, Daniel House has proven to us time and time again, he is a guy that needs to be in the rhythm. And when you start him, he's not able to get into the rhythm. And that's when we, like I mentioned, we get those games where he go 0-10 or 2-13 versus he coming off the bench. You know, you stagger the minutes between whoever your starting backcourt is. Now you give him an opportunity to get into a rhythm or touch the ball. Plus, Daniel House is pretty solid on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Don't know what it is, but whenever he gets in a groove on offense, that's going to carry over on defense as well.
Yeah, and real quick side note on Daniel. I mean, he's probably the number one almost got that dunk down players in the league. It's like,
he's the type of player,
he's so close to getting a poster dunk and then it never happens. I don't know.
You know how many posters Daniel House could have had?
Yes.
He literally could have a top 15 list of best dunks
in
his career. But, oh, my God, there's been so many times he get me out of my seat just to miss it, man.
Yep, and fall down awkwardly. Yeah, that's unfortunate. that's House. But I actually think, I think he can still contribute to this team. I just think that, like you said, I think he's better coming off the bench. I think he still can give you short burst of, you know, really good play. I just don't think he's the type of player that needs to be playing 30, 35 minutes a game. I think he's more of a 15 at the most 20 minutes type player that can come in and give you a spark. So I agree. I think Jayshon Tate should be starting small forward. He just brings a lot more. But that kind of leads me into my other question. Who do you think should be closing the game? Because sometimes that can be a little bit different than who's starting the game.
That is a tricky question. And I think it's just going to depend who the Rockets are playing.
Yeah.
Because it seems like because they're so young, you can't really establish what's the Rockets' best lineup, especially, you know, with only two preseason games in.
Yeah.
But if I would have to pick, of course you gotta go with the three guys, Christian Wood, Jalen Green, and Kevin Porter Jr. But once again, I don't know, and I know you might look at me a little bit crazy. I don't know if Jalen Green, at least let's say the first 25 games of the season, I don't believe he should be on the court if it's, let's say, a 5-point game and 2 minutes left. I only say that only because, yes, he's a great scorer, but let's say, you know, this is a close game going down between the wire. Let's say with Washington again. And if this was a regular season, Bradley Beal would be on the floor. I don't see Jalen Green. I don't think he's strong enough in order to stay on the floor with a Bradley Beal, because once again, going back to that game, he's able to just get pushed around so easily. It's going to make it's going to open up the lane for the opposing team to be able to get to the basket a little bit easier. Then on the flip side, Jalen Green's offense might become a little stagnant because he's going to be focused on trying to get to the basket, and he can't as of right now. That's why I said, let's say the first 15 to 20, 25 games. That's why I'm kind of hesitant to put him out there right now, because once again, he's 19 years old. He's a rookie. But on the flip side of things, you know, you still got to look at the scoring aspect. And, of course, his shooting. Cannot forget about his shooting. So I think Jalen Green is a toss-up. But, of course, Daniel Tice, Christian Wood, Kevin Porter Jr. And I'm going to say Jayshon Tate as well, because I think his versatility on the court is something that the Rockets definitely need. And that's why I kind of feel like the odd man out of a closing rotation might be Jalen Green. But at the same time, it's hard to say because, one, it depends on who they're playing. If this is a close game against the Los Angeles Lakers, then you might have to take Green out and replace him for, let's say, a Daniel House in order to, you know, go up against a Russell Westbrook or a LeBron. But if this is a close game between the Charlotte Hornets, of course, you lead Jalen Green in, and hopefully we get a great one-on-one match between him and LaMelo Ball. That's why I say, I guess it kind of depends on who's the Rockets playing at the particular night. I would say that would decide whether Jalen Green should be closing or not. But, you know, after the All-Star break, hopefully by then it start clicking with him, he get a little bit stronger, then that wouldn't be an issue. But like I said, man, I think it all depends on who the matchup is.
So do you think there's any circumstance where if Eric Gordon is still on the team, you think he's closing games just because Silas values veterans like a Gordon? And I mean, he said last year Wall was his coach on the floor, you know, before he decided that, you know, Wall's not going to be playing anymore. Do you think there's any circumstance that Gordon may actually close instead of Jayshon Tate just because he's more of a two-way player?
Not really, because I think I'm just really big on Jayshon, you know, the versatility, because like I keep mentioning, I really do see like him developing into a player like a Draymond Green. And I actually had an opportunity to ask him about that today in practice as well. But, you know, I just think his versatility, being able to guard positions 1 through 5, is something that the Rockets could need in a close game. But once again, going back to my point about Jalen Green being an odd man out, Eric Gordon could be another guy that the Rockets might use over Green in a close game. Once again, it all goes back to the opponent. And then, of course, it goes back to, you know, where the Rockets are at this stage in the season. If they're playing for a play-in tournament, then, you know, and if Eric Gordon is still here, of course, you'll close the game with Eric Gordon. But, of course, if this is just, you know, a lost season as last year, then, of course, you keep Jalen Green on the court to get that I don't want to say chemistry, but man, this word is gonna kill me.
Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes, man.
Experience. That's what I'm looking for. Experience.
Yeah. And I mean, I agree. It's still going to take some time. And like you said, it's only two preseason games, so you're not going to really know. I don't think Coach Tiles even knows what he has yet because, you know, he's still trying to work through it. He probably won't even know it until after maybe a few weeks into the season because most teams aren't playing their regular guys. I mean, even more now, it seems like they're keeping out their entire lineup. So it's going to be kind of hard for him to judge, you know, who's going to be doing what in what situation. But, I mean, I just think it's going to be interesting if Eric Gordon is still on the roster because I know a lot of people are ready for Eric Gordon to be traded, but I think Coach Tyler's, like, really values Eric Gordon. And you got to remember at the end of the day, Coach Tyler's just – It's his job. I know a lot of people want them to lose and have a bad record so they have another high draft pick. But I mean, Rafael Stone and Coach Silas ain't looking at it that way. They trying to win games. You know, they want to keep their jobs just like anybody else. So people need to factor that in when they're looking at it and thinking, well, the Rockets are going to lose this and lose that, and they may not play this guy or this guy. But I think as long as Gordon and House are on the roster, I think they're still going to get a good amount of playing time, even though people may not want to see that.
And I know right now, you know, you talk about the rotations, a lot of people looking at who's going to start at the three. And of course, you know, as you mentioned, who's going to be the closing lineup. I'm more intrigued to see what Steven Silas is going to do with his rotations coming off the bench. Because some of these guys like Dante Exum, Josh Christopher, they are really making a name for themselves throughout these first two preseason games. Well, I'm thinking to myself, these two guys need to be in a rotation, especially Josh Christopher. I get it. It's only two preseason games, and when they drafted him, I automatically assumed that the Rockets, this would be someone that they, you know, send down to the G League and let him develop. Matter of fact, I even talked about that in the player preview that I did on the Dream Shake. But these first two preseason games, those two guys have really made a name for themselves. Then you also got to factor in where does Kenyon Martin Jr. fall in the midst of all this? Because that's a guy who closed out the season very good last year. You know, is he going to be a guy that they send down to the G League again just so he can play? Or will Steven Silas find a role in minutes for him? And I think those three guys, and of course, Alperin, I'm going to just say Alperin because I still don't know how to pronounce his last name yet.
Shagun. It took me a while to come up with it, but it's almost like it's an H's last name.
But, you know, even Alperin has been making a name for himself. Yeah. Alperin, I'm sorry. He has been making a name for himself as well. So I'm more enamored to see how is he going to establish his bench rotation. Yeah. That is where I think the Rockets are going to be, let's say, go from having a lost season again to where you and I say – that 30 to 35 win mark.
Yeah. Yeah. Alperin Sengun and Daniel Tice. It took me a long time to figure out how to say those names correctly. So, yeah, it's still a work in progress.
And another guy that I forgot to mention, David Nwaba as well.
Yeah.
If it's a tight game and this is more so about defense and you have the lead, let's say about 5 with 2 minutes left, you're going to have to close the game out with him because he gives you that defense that's going to be needed in order to hold on to a lead if we get to a situation like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. The Rockets have several veterans that they could possibly still be playing late in games that, you know, everybody's talking about the young guys. They still got some veterans that could possibly help them. That's why I wouldn't be shocked if they win 30 games this year just because they're not just going to be playing the young guys all year and just say, oh, well, veterans, you can go sit down somewhere and have a drink and not play like John Wall. They're still going to be playing. So it's going to be interesting, like you said, how the rotation and everything is going to play out. Before we wrap up the show, Cody, why don't you let everybody know again where they can find all your content?
Yes, sir. You can the easiest way, because I work for quite a bit of publications, easiest way to find all my content is just to follow me on Twitter at CodyDavis_24. Once again, that's Cody, CodyDavis _24. Why 24? Because Kobe Bryant is the GOAT. I say that all the time. Don't care what nobody else I don't care what nobody else have to say. I don't care about a Jordan. I love LeBron. But at the end of the day, Kobe Bryant is my GOAT. That's why I got the 24. But you can follow me on Twitter. If you love the Rockets, please be sure to check out my work over at the Dream Shake. And if you are a Texan fan, I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this podcast, you are in the city of Houston. And I guess you still love the Texans. There's so much stuff going on with that organization. But if you still want to keep in touch with everything that's going on, I am a beat reporter over at the Texans Wire USA Today, and I host the Locked On Podcast Network called Locked On Texans. Please check me out along with my co-host Johnson, Sports Guy Hickman. Always talking about the Houston Texans every single day, man. And now I got to find a way.
God bless you.
Like, we were recording this on a Saturday, and tomorrow they got the game against the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this might be the last game that they could possibly win. It is so bad.
They have a chance. I've seen, you know, Mac Jones play. I know he played a little bit better last game.
But Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Davis Mills.
I thought this team
had a chance before Tyrod got hurt. My God, man, those six quarters Tyrod played, he looked so good.
Yeah.
But, man, it's been a struggle with Davis Mills under center, man.
Well, we definitely appreciate your continued coverage. And, you know, us at the Launchpad Podcast understand covering teams struggling, because it was a struggle last year. But we got through it, and we got content out. And it's going to be a much better year this year. And I appreciate you jumping on the show. I definitely will be having you back on, you know, sometime this year.
No problem, man. Just hit me up on Twitter. You know where to find me.
Of course. And that's going to do it for today's episode. So if you haven't already done so, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And be sure to follow the main account at Apollo HOU. That's Apollo HOU is all caps, for blogs, merch, video, podcast, and more original Houston sports content not found anywhere else, especially Astros content, as they're up 2-0 in the playoffs, and Apollo probably has some of the best coverage anywhere when it comes to Astros baseball. As always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back for our next episode of Launchpad Podcast covering your Houston Rockets.